From something you could hold in your hand to something at least 10 million 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 times bigger. Inflation theory explains the ripples and eddies that make our universe possible. Without it, there would be no clumps of matter, and thus no stars, just drifting gas and everlasting darkness. According to Guth's theory, at 1/10 millionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, gravity emerged. After another ludicrously brief interval, it was joined by electromagnetism and the strong and weak nuclear forces, the stuff of physics. These were joined an instant later by swarms of elementary particles, the stuff of stuff. From nothing at all, suddenly there were swarms of photons, protons, electrons, neutrons, and much else, between 10 to the power of 79 and 10 to the power of 89 of each, according to the standard Big Bang theory. Such quantities are, of course, ungraspable. It is enough to know that in a single, cracking instant, we were endowed with a universe that was vast, at least 100 billion light-years across, according to the theory, but possibly any size up to infinite, and perfectly arrayed for the creation of stars, galaxies, and other complex systems. What is extraordinary, from our point of view, is how well it turned out for us. If the universe had formed just a tiny bit differently, if gravity were fractionally stronger or weaker, if the expansion had proceeded just a little more slowly or swiftly, then there might never have been stable elements to make you and me and the ground we stand on. Had gravity been a trifle stronger, the universe itself might have collapsed like a badly erected tent, without precisely the right values to give it the right dimensions and density and component parts. Had it been weaker, however, nothing would have coalesced. The universe would have remained forever a dull, scattered void. This is one reason that some experts believe there may have been many other Big Bangs, perhaps trillions and trillions of them, spread through the mighty span of eternity, and that the reason we exist in this particular one is that this is one we could exist in. As Edward P. Tryon of Columbia University once put it, in answer to the question of why it happened, I offer the modest proposal that our universe is simply one of those things which happen from time to time. To which adds Guth, although the creation of a universe might be very unlikely, Tryon emphasized that no one had counted the failed attempts. Martin Rees, Britain's Astronomer Royal, believes that there are many universes, possibly an infinite number, each with different attributes in different combinations, and that we simply live in one that combines things in the way that allows us to exist. He makes an analogy with a very large clothing store. If there is a large stock of clothing, you're not surprised to find a suit that fits. If there are many universes, each governed by a different set of numbers, there will be one where there is a particular set of numbers suitable to life. We are in that one. Rees maintains that six numbers in particular govern our universe, and that if any of these values were changed, even very slightly, things could not be as they are. For example, for the universe to exist as it does requires that hydrogen be converted to helium in a precise but comparatively stately manner, specifically in a way that converts 7/1000th of its mass to energy. Lower that value very slightly from 0.007% to 0.006%, say, and no transformation could take place. The universe would consist of hydrogen and nothing else. Raise the value very slightly to 0.008%, and bonding would be so wildly prolific that the hydrogen would long since have been exhausted. In either case, with the slightest tweaking of the numbers, the universe as we know and need it would not be here. I should say that everything is just right so far. In the long term, gravity may turn out to be a little too strong, and one day it may halt the expansion of the universe and bring it collapsing in upon itself till it crushes itself down into another singularity, possibly to start the whole process over again. On the other hand, it may be too weak, and the universe will keep racing away forever until everything is so far apart that there is no chance of material interactions, so that the universe becomes a place that is inert and dead, but very roomy. The third option is that gravity is just right, Critical density is the cosmologist's term for it, and that it will hold the universe together at just the right dimensions to allow things to go on indefinitely. Cosmologists, in their lighter moments, sometimes call this the Goldilocks effect, that everything is just right. For the record, these three possible universes are known respectively as closed, open, and flat. Now, the question that has occurred to all of us at some point is, what would happen if you traveled out to the edge of the universe and, as it were, put your head through the curtains? Where would your head be if it were no longer in the universe? What would you find beyond? The answer, disappointingly, is that you could never get to the edge of the universe. That's not because it would take too long to get there, though of course it would, but because even if you traveled outward and outward in a straight line indefinitely and pugnaciously, you would never arrive at an outer boundary. Instead, you would come back to where you began, at which point presumably you would rather lose heart in the exercise and give up. The reason for this is that the universe bends in a way we can't adequately imagine, in conformance with Einstein's theory of relativity, which we will get to in due course. For the moment, it is enough to know that we are not adrift in some large, ever-expanding bubble. Rather, space curves in a way that allows it to be boundless but finite. Space cannot even properly be said to be expanding because, as the physicist and Nobel laureate Steven Weinberg notes, solar systems and galaxies are not expanding and space itself is not expanding. Rather, the galaxies are rushing apart. It is all something of a challenge to intuition, or as the biologist J.B.S. Haldane once famously observed, the universe is not only queerer than we suppose, it is queerer than we can suppose. The analogy that is usually given for explaining the curvature of space is to try to imagine someone from a universe of flat surfaces who had never seen a sphere being brought to Earth. No matter how far he roamed across the planet's surface, he would never find an edge. He might eventually return to the spot where he had started.